How are y'all doing?
We're back from Idaho and Utah, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Good time, a little hot. It was warm in the car. We thought we had a vehicle issue, and it was not a vehicle issue. It was a operator error. Couldn't read the instruments properly. I don't think I would ever get certified for flying instrumentation. But speaking of flying, let's go ahead and allow our hearts to connect today with the one who's already connected with us. If you're not feeling God right now, if you're not sensing Him, it's not God. I'm telling you, it's not God. It's us. We've let life overwhelm us. We've let things come into our lives that have allowed us to not be able to truly focus on Him as He's focusing on us. He never stops thinking about us. He never stops loving us. He never stops pouring out His grace upon us. So we have the opportunity right now to turn our hearts towards Him, turn our eyes towards Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let him just do a work in us this morning. Lord, we do. We want you to do a work in us this morning, Jesus. We invite you, Lord, into our hearts afresh and anew today. I don't care if we've known you for 5 minutes or 50 years, Lord. We choose right now, Lord, to let you do a new thing in us. Help us, Lord, to not be just satisfied with our Christian walk. Help us, Lord, to be hungry for more of you. Lord, we want more of you. We want you to come, Lord, in a new way that we realize, Lord, that you're working in our hearts and in our lives in a significant way. So we yield and we surrender, Lord, our will. We yield and surrender our hearts. Lord, we surrender our mind, will, and emotions to you this morning. And we ask that you would do as only you can do, Lord, in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Rest on us, come rest on us. When you feel the room, you're here and I know you're moving. stay in this space a little bit longer. We're in no rush to go anywhere.
Thank you. Turn around.
finding our life in God. John chapter 6, starting at verse 51, it says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Then Jesus said to them, verse 53, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. What a challenging verse. What a radical verse at the time. The Jews who were not in any kind of spiritual flow thought he was talking about cannibalism. And I know even to this day, sometimes in certain churches, they don't even like to read or even say that it has to do with the blood and the body. They think it's too gross. But I'll tell you what was too gross was our Savior hanging on the cross. Unrecognizable as a man. Unrecognizable as his figure was so marred, he was unrecognizable as who he was before. That's the love that came running after us. When he was on that cross, that was love being expressed to the entire world. That was love being expressed to you and I. And now we have the opportunity to remember the Lord's death, remember his crucifixion, remember his broken body that was broken for us so that we could be made whole. Remember that his blood was shed. His blood was shed so that we could be washed pure, white, have his righteousness, have his spotlessness, which makes no sense to any of us, does it? But that's what he accomplished for us because of his love that came running after us. And we were responding in that song, Lord, we're running after you. So now when we come and take communion, we're saying, Lord, you ran after us when we were sinners lost in a dying world, when we were sinners destined for hell. And now we choose to run after you and remember what you did for us on the cross when we celebrate communion. When we take the body, the bread, and we remember that his body was broken so that we could be made whole. Spirit, soul, and body. So that this fractured being that was blown up by this world because of sin and because of the darkness of this world was put back together. This mind, this heart that was fractured because of all the lies of the enemy that he had just massively imputed into this world was put back together, and life finally made sense. Life finally had a meaning. So let's go ahead and gather around. We take family communion here and just come and take this bread and take this juice, which is representing his blood. Get it in your hand. Start from the moment you pick it up, start remembering what the Lord's done for you. Start remembering his broken body on the cross. Start remembering his blood shed for you. Start thanking him for it. Even before I even start praying, just start engaging by faith with what this represents to your life. This is not a traditional ceremony that we're doing right now. This is an eternal moment that we're getting to experience, because Jesus was slain, was already crucified from the very foundation of the earth. He was slain before you even thought of by anybody that was here on this earth. Even before mankind existed, Jesus was slain because it was what was necessary to give us life and life eternal. Did you guys get it? Good. Did you get it up there, bro? You do. Good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. We thank you, Lord, that you promised in your word if we...
Have it up there.
We don't have it yet. We promise, you promise, Lord, that if we, Lord, would eat your flesh and drink your blood, and we know you're talking about, Lord, your broken body, relating, Lord, to what you did for us on the cross, relating, Lord, that we could not atone for our own actions. We could not atone for our own sins. Lord, that we deserve the punishment, Lord, that you received. And Lord, your broken body, you were made broken, Lord, so that we could be made whole. And Lord, your blood was shed, Lord. Every drop of your blood, Lord, was shed so that we could be made pure and white and holy and have life eternal, have life abundantly, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for being the one, Lord, that made a way where there was no way. We thank you, Lord, for being the way, the truth, and the life, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for coming and living in us, abiding in us, never leaving us, forsaking us, Lord. That's your running after us, Lord. Now we choose to run after you right now by faith, Lord, and believe that as we participate in this communion moment, Lord, that the life that you've shed for us, the life that you've given for us, Lord, the abundant life that's available to us, Lord, would start to give life to our mortal bodies. Would start to draw us, Lord, out of anything that we've gotten distracted in this life that's taking us away from you. Would change and transform us, Lord, to be more like you. We choose that today. Let's go ahead and take the bread. Remember, as you're chewing on that, that bread's breaking in your mouth, and that should be reminding you that he was broken for you. He was broken for you so that we could be a body of believers. We could be the fullness of him who fills all in all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being broken for us so that we could be made whole. Let's go and take the cup. Thank you for your shed blood, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it's by your blood, Lord, that's cleansed our consciences from dead works, Lord. Lord, thank you that it's by your blood, Lord, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace now, Lord. Because of your body and your blood that was broken, Lord, we can come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy and help from the Father in time of need. Oh, Lord, we're running after you. We need more of you. Oh, we're running after you. Lord, we're running after you. Oh, we're running after you. We want more of you. Lord, we're running after you. All of our heart we choose, Lord, to run after you. Running after you, means in their heart, means in their life. If it's, I just sense that maybe somebody is being stirred right now. Anyone? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. What's that? Bob does. Okay. Thank you, brother.
Was in back in the Torah, and And it was all about being one. And when you break bread together with your fellow body, it's all about you're making it's a covenant between you and your brothers that you will defend them, you will watch over them in defense and everything. And then, you know, Jesus said, "This is my body that was broken for you." But then he also said, in John 17, he says, "I pray, Lord, that they will be one as you and I are one together, that we can be a mighty force in this nation." Hallelujah. So when we come for communion, we need to remember that we are that body of Christ, and he prayed that we would be one. So and we have been so fractioned, you know, denominations but we got to realize we are one in him. We got to forget our differences. Yeah, we have differences, and Paul says, let's agree to disagree in unity in love. Amen. So,
thank you, brother.
Praise the Lord.
With every praise I bring comes a song I love to sing of how good you are to me. Oh, how good you are. And with every thanks I lift, my God, you give back a gift. Oh, how good you are to me. Oh, how good you are. So with every praise I bring comes a song
in our time. In Mark 1, verse 16 and 17, it says in the Message translation, passing along the beach of the Lake of Galilee, he, Jesus, saw Simon and his brother Andrew net fishing. Fishing was their regular work. But then in 17, it says, Jesus said to them, come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. I have two things to say about the scriptures. This morning as we were beginning to start and Pastor Eric was speaking in the encouraging word that he does at the beginning of worship, he says, let's take an extra moment. And that's what my prayer was just minutes before that is, Jesus, can we just take one extra moment with you? Jesus goes by these fishermen and he spends more than a moment with them. They're in the midst of what they know. They know fishing. That's their way of life. They know it. And Jesus takes what they know and uses what they have. What they know is they know how to fish. And what they have now is the capabilities of not just catching fish. Yuck, I don't like fish very much, but catching fish is to catching men and women for him. He used what they had. He's going to use what you have. He doesn't expect you to become anybody else. He doesn't expect you to say it like Pastor Mike does, or sing it like Skyly does, or admonish it like anybody else. He wants you and your voice and your giftings. He can use that. One of my favorite old songs was sang by a man named Larnell Harris. And he says, what's that you have in your hand? I can use it. Jesus is saying, I can use that. I can use you. You may think you don't have much, but when you put it in the hand of Jesus, it becomes so much more. This morning, as we are loving on one another, as we get ready just to take a few minutes to greet one another, remember that the hand that you hold when you're shaking it, they may have a need that only your prayer can bring them up out of that need into giving it to Jesus and saying, I'm going to trust the Lord with this. There's a need on the other side of that extended hand. So don't forget that you're saying hi, you're hugging your neck, you're getting your coffee. Remember that others are standing next to you that may need to hear your wonderful, encouraging voice this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's take a minute and greet one another, get your coffee, and we'll come back together.
Check. Good morning. Good morning, church. Go ahead and find your seats. We're going to do our declarations. Let's do Heart of the House, would you? And we're going to make some declarations over our church, over God's church. Amen. How many of you guys believe God wants to move through One Life Family Worship? How many of you believe God wants to move through One Life Family Worship? Okay, good. How are we doing there, Pastor? All right, so stand with me, and we're going to declare this over our house. We're going to declare this over this church, this body, and we're going to believe with all of our hearts that God is going to use our church to do mighty things. So on the count of three, let's do this in unison. One, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church. That we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Amen. God, I thank you for One Life Family Worship. I thank you for our church family, every house represented here. I thank you, Jesus, that you love us, you're with us, that your spirit does rest on us, God. It's not just a song we sing. It's not just a melody that we sing, God, but it's actually a declaration, God, an expectation, God, that you move in this house. We thank you for our pastors. We thank you, Lord, for everybody who serves this place. We thank you, Lord, for everybody who gives into this place. And we just pray all of these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Where is my wife? Do you want me to do it? So the next thing is pre-service prayer. I'll continue to say this. If you could be here, that'd be great. But even if you're not here, I would just highly, highly encourage you that you pray for what God is doing in this house. Even if you don't believe God can move through our small church, I'm believing it. Pastor Mike, Pastor Gayleen, I think even Bella is believing it. And we're just believing that God can move. And so I would encourage you, set an alarm on your phone at 9:45. Start praying for the service. Just take 10, 15 minutes and begin pouring out just prayers for the worship, for the word, for our fellowship and whatnot. And I believe that if we could do that in unison, we will see God move in this place. Amen. The next thing is giving. So again, just thank you, everyone who gives. Thank you for everyone who gives with a willing heart, with a joyful heart, because that is ultimately what God calls us, or how God calls us to give. You can give online. You can give in the boxes in the back, or a box in the back, box up here. And again, your tithes, your offering doesn't go unnoticed. It helps a lot, and it helps us expand the kingdom of God in our house. So thank you for that. I think those are the only things, right? And then camp. Okay. So, Nance and Tim, will you guys join me up here? So we had the privilege. It was a joy. I know for some of you this sounds like a nightmare, but we took 8 youth students down to a place called Glide, Oregon. It's right next to Roseburg, Oregon, if you're familiar with Oregon at all. We went to a youth camp called Draw Near, and we got to partner with, I don't remember exactly the number, like 5, 6, 7 youth groups that were represented there. And 100 kids, salvations were happening. God was encountered. If you've never been to youth camp, or maybe your experience of youth camp was something different, I'll let you know that this wasn't just a week of just like eating junk food and playing games. Those things happened. Also, students, teenagers from 12 to 18 encountered God. Kids were at the altar saying yes to Jesus. Kids were at the altar on their face saying yes to Jesus. The last night, we didn't even have time to do the agenda, because we were just like, Holy Spirit's here, and we're going to wait in this place. Isn't that beautiful that this generation is going after Jesus? How many of you guys, does that excite you, that the younger generation is actually saying yes to God? And so I believe in youth camp. Like, I will die on that mountain, not like go die on the mountain, but I'll die on the mountain of youth camp. I believe that if a student can be at youth camp, they need to be at youth camp, because it just changes the dynamic of a teenager's heart and of the group. Our group came back stronger. Our group came back tighter. Our group came back just filled, yes, filled, that's the right word. Not only with Holy Spirit, but also just with connection with one another. And so I'm going to let my wife share first real quick, just kind of her experience. And I'm going to have Tim share first.
Hi, fam. If you don't know me, I'm Pastor Mike and Gayleen's son. I grew up as a alum of the Lopez Youth Ministry, if you would call it. Growing up, I had a lot of people proclaim over my life that I'd be in youth ministry. A lot of pastors, people close to me, didn't want to do it. So, but when Eric asked me 4 months ago if I wanted to do it, I jumped at it. It was daunting. I knew I wanted to do it, because I knew where our youth was in the world at the moment. Identityless, lost, searching. So I wanted to make a change. I weirdly enough, struggled with my faith for a long time. But through a hardcore metal song, refound it. Totally did a 360 or a 180, and I'm back. But when Eric asked me if I wanted to do youth camp, I, without hesitation, said yes, not thinking of the repercussions. Kids stink, and they don't go to bed on time. So it was good, though. There were a lot of moments where I was not wanting to be an observer, and I just wanted to enter in with the kids and help them, because they're questioning. They have questions, and that's something that's very important for the youth, to understand what God can do for them and how to draw near. One really important thing that I got out of this youth camp was the word honor. Such a powerful word. Like, back in the day, it meant your title. Now it means how you treat someone. So I just really want people, and the youth especially, to find their honor and how to show it to others. So, yeah, that's what I got.
You guys, this is an amazing thing. Like, we've been working with Tim forever, and so have his parents, and anybody else who's been in his life. And so to watch him not only say yes to our youth, but radically go after them and do things that he didn't think he could do, like going out to the lake past dark and letting them have fun and being the supervisor of all that and staying up late, getting them to get to bed and holding his hard lines and also being fun was really awesome to watch. I think that's probably one of my most favorite things, is watching this guy grow into who we've always known that he is. And so it's been amazing watching him not only grow, but help grow others in the process. And so that was like fantastic. I can't say enough about this, you guys. I was touched myself. Like, God is so faithful. We had our youth. We like to talk to them about fasting and praying. And so we had them, you know, give up something and fast before going, because we're like, the more that you can prepare your soil, the more the Lord it can bless you in that. Like, God can work whether or not you prepare your soil. He can move mountains whether or not you ever utter a word. But the fact is that when you co-labor with him and you put you sacrifice these things and you're allowing your heart and your mind to shift and be focused in on him, yeah, it's amazing at what God can do. And just that little bit that they chose to do went a long way at camp. And not only did it touch them, it touched us as leaders. Like, we were getting wrecked by Holy Spirit. People were giving words left and right. Students were ministering to other students. It was like, oh, I loved it. It was so cool, you guys. Anyway.
Awesome. Yes, I'm so thankful. So as you guys may or may not know, our youth ministry is made up of a lot of kids that actually don't attend our church. They attend our youth ministry, but they don't come Sunday mornings. And so I made a video, them sharing their experiences. And so sit back and watch this.
This week at youth camp, I felt the presence of God super strongly. I had been really struggling to hear his voice and to feel his presence before coming to youth camp. So I definitely did not expect to be hit that hard by the Holy Spirit. And I also got two prophetic words near the end of camp that lined up exactly the same and really confirmed what God wants me to do next to draw near to him. And although I didn't expect any of that, I know that God's plan for me was way bigger than anything that I could have expected.
Hi, my name is Micah, and one thing that I got from this youth trip to Oregon was that God really wants a relationship with me. All of a sudden, a while back, God spoke to me through a dream and ever since I've been trying to get a relationship with him. And at this camp, he's just been speaking to me in different ways through different people and saying that he really wants a relationship with me. And I've just been praying to him ever since, wanting a relationship with him and just to be close with him, and learning that from and getting that from a lot of people, it just meant a lot to me. And that's one thing that I got from this trip.
Hey, what's up, church fam? So as you all know, we just recently went to youth camp, and something that impacted me most was actually on the second night, they had a prayer session, and during that prayer session, I was just kind of asking God, you know, like, what's something that you can give me that I can walk away with? And he told me that whenever I'm fighting my battles, that I don't have to fight them with my hands full. So the thing that I'm fighting for, the thing that I'm fighting to stop, I don't have to hold that and carry that as a burden while I'm fighting. He said that if we give that to him while we're fighting, then now our hands are free, right? Now what do we do with our free hands? We can praise him. And so the Lord just told me that no matter what, if I'm ever feeling like there's heavy burdens on me and I just want to get rid of them, to just begin to praise him and lift my hands to him, and my hands will become free. He'll take these burdens off our chest, right? And so that's what impacted me most, and I love you guys.
This week has meant so much for me and my relationship with God. It has really helped me with making the Bible more interesting. And I've really never had a chance to really see how interesting it is. But now that God really showed me that, it's really helped me out. And he's also made me more kind and generous, and how to, like, do that. You know what I'm saying? And it's also made how to honor other people around me, because I haven't honored the people around me the best.
Hello, my name is Gabriel Tmez, and this youth camp really gave me perspective on how to develop my relationship with God and communicate with him. My relationship with God has always been really passive, because I never took time to praise and worship, because I was taken out of church by my parents, and ever since then, they've never agreed with it. And so it really taught me how to communicate with God. And even though I couldn't hear him, there were different ways that I could communicate with him, and my relationship got a lot stronger with him through worship, praise, and just learning about what he was all about and reading the Bible over the period of camp.
Okay, so some of the things that God did for me during that camp is he helped me relieve a lot of stress. Personally, I have an anxiety, so what I've done through it is I've prayed to God. I had help with one of my friends, he helped me pray with it, and it relieved a lot of stress. I was able to connect to God through my heart, and I also heard his voice through the camp. The energy was there, the spiritual energy. I felt everything when I was there. It felt so wonderful, and I couldn't contain my joy. I got prayed over with one of my friends. It was fun. It was like, it was everything I needed. I reconnected to God, and I got what I need. And I'm happy for this after that camp.
Hi, everyone. I just got back from Camp Draw Near with my youth group, and I wanted to share with you a couple of testimonies that I got from this week. One of them being, the biggest one, is that I had wrote in my journal a couple of things that I wanted to see from God. The first thing was that I would receive something new from the Spirit. I prayed that my friends would experience a supernatural touch of heaven. I prayed that my friends would reclaim their places in heaven's throne room as sons and daughters of God. When I was at camp, I received many different prophetic words. Some were talking about my heart of worship. Others were talking about my empathetic heart for people, and that that would benefit me in the future as well as others. I received something completely new and things that I'd never heard before spoken over my life, and that first prayer was answered. To the second and third prayer, my friends were also called out and given prophetic words and things prophesied over their lives that they weren't expecting. And even the students that thought they wouldn't be able to receive anything, they wound up receiving something, and it was impactful in their lives, and it was beautiful to get to watch and experience that with my friends, knowing that God was moving in their lives in a big, bad way. And I just think that this goes to show that it just takes 5 minutes to sit down and tell God that you expect him to move because you know that he can. And he will. He's too faithful not to show up for you, no matter how you may be feeling or how much you think that your prayers are getting to him. He listens. All you have to do is ask. And this week proved that to me. He listened and answered every one of my prayers, more above and beyond what I thought he would. And yeah, my testimony.
Isn't God good, you guys? Isn't God good? That is just a small snapshot. You know, they did the best they could to encompass what God did in 4 days. So last thing I'll say is this. Thank you, church, for believing in me and my wife and Tim and just what we do in the youth. Thank you for sowing financially, the spaghetti feed, the yard sale, some of you just giving me cash. Like, thank you. We absolutely love it, and we'll continue doing it. And amen. Amen. All right, Pastor, you're up.
You want to say something? No, I guess not. Maybe it's the Lord talking. Praise the Lord. Well, good to be back. We had a great time. We weren't in actually Klamath Falls. We were in Twin Falls, which is more on the way to Utah. I was listening to Eric's messages, and the first Sunday he said, they're in Klamath Falls. And I said, no, we're in Twin Falls. But it was really good because Bob was sharing about how we are a body, and how it says that when one member suffers, we all suffer. And even though we may not realize that, we may not sense that at the time, it truly is the truth, that when one of us is suffering, we all suffer. So we were at a conference in March at Cannon Beach, and we were talking to a couple that we had met the previous year before and really connected with them. And we have opportunity to sit at breakfast and lunch, and not lunch, but breakfast and dinner. And I think we spent a couple meals with them. And but we asked them, we said, so how's your church? Because they planted a little church in Twin Falls. And we asked, how's your church going? And they said, well, it's just her and I. You know, we minister to people in our workplaces and stuff, but nobody's come to our house. So we were going to fly down to Utah for the wedding, because I did a ceremony for Adrian Garcia and McKenna Garner, and which is now Adrian McKenna Garcia. But and so it's, you know, how many know it's easy to fly? It's not tiring. You get there, and it's like, you know, unless you use your arms. But I mean, if you're in a plane, it's very comfortable. But we decided that we were going to drive so that we could spend a Sunday with them. And then we would go and we would canvas and hopefully maybe bring some people to their church. And so how many know that we did move back to Yakima? We are now in Yakima full time. If you call us on a Wednesday and want to meet for coffee, we're here. Oh yeah, I know our granddaughter's saying bummer. Anyway, we're here. So we're going to be much more available. And so. That's, you know, that's the grace of the Lord. It was the grace of the Lord that let us be in the Tri-Cities for the time that we were there, and really connected with our daughter and the family so close. I mean, we were at a favorite place on Friday with Isaiah and Isabella. We were having a Mexican meal at Fiesta, and we were having our food, and it was wonderful. And then they started teaching me what would be slang. And Bella, well, tell it, bussin'. It was bussin'. It was bussin'. Yeah, it was good. I want to do some of the others because I've read about them, and I don't know if they were trying to get me to say things to to post somewhere to make people laugh. I don't know. But I said, hey, I've been a clown before, so I don't mind laughing at myself. But that all being said, we are back in Yakima. We had moved back, and so we were very tired. And we were very should we still just go down early? I mean, our house is just in total disarray. And I looked at Gay, and I said, you know what? I don't want whatever's going on in our life to keep us from doing something that God has on our hearts, that's put on our hearts to reach others. We don't know what eternal impact this is going to make. This is all temporal. I don't care how much chaos it is, how undone our house looks, and we couldn't find things. You know, it's like we use these clear tubs. I thought, with these clear tubs, we'll find everything. No, they still stuff in places, and you don't. I don't think there's any perfect way to move. Maybe unless you just hire somebody to move for you. But even that, I've heard that they lose things. So, you know, but it's all temporal. So we decided to go down on the Friday, the day before our anniversary. So we spent our anniversary with this couple. And because, again, we value the body. We value these eternal relationships. These relationships are not temporal. These relationships that God brings into your life, they're a gift for each other. You know, Paul said, you are my glory. You know, you are my crown. And he was talking to the churches. And I think of it as a body of believers, as a body of Christ, if we could realize that we are a body and that we're members of one another and that we're to be kind to one another and generous to one another and giving and all of those things, that there would be, I think, much more of an attraction by the world to what we have. They wouldn't be, you know, because a lot of what people say about the body of Christ is that they point fingers at each other. They condemn each other. They talk bad about each other. They uncover each other's faults and errors instead of being there to love one another and to help each other when we stumble and fall and give them the truth that they need to walk through it. I know this isn't my message, but hey, who cares? So what ended up happening is we got there on a Friday night, was having dinner with them. And so we asked them, so has anybody come to a church? Well, let me tell you, what happened? So they ended up starting going to a church, which is really the work of the Lord, because he met a pastor who basically, said to him, you know, hey, you know, I might just end up giving you my church. And so it was like a real blessing for them. But Gay and I kind of looked at each other that night and said, why didn't they call us? Because I think they didn't call us because if the Lord knew that they called us and said, hey, we're going to church now, we would have said, oh, we're off the hook. But I'm so glad we stayed there because there was such a connection made that was, you know, true koinonia. It's called fellowship, and it means a connection where your hearts are knit together, like what they have, you start to receive, and what you have, they start to receive. And it's like a supernatural mix, and it's awesome. So anyway, that's where we were. And then the next week we were doing a wedding, and boy, that wedding was a tough wedding because it was so hot and they wanted to have it outside, no trees. And literally my iPad, which I used for the wedding, was blinking that it was starting to overheat. And I'm saying, Lord Jesus, don't let this go out during the wedding, you know. And it didn't, praise the Lord. But I mean, it's flashing because it's starting to go. And the sound system was put out way in the sun. So the mic's popping and it was glorious. But the thing is that this particular individual that I had the opportunity of doing the ceremony for was the last son, youngest son, of Angel and Lorena Garcia. And Angel and Lorena are two individuals that Gay and I, years ago, had an opportunity to have supernatural experience with. Adrian, who's like 21 now, I think, he was just 3 years old, and he was at Memorial Hospital. And he was in a state where he was just suffering from all of these symptoms to the place where he was almost like going into a coma. Isn't that the case, babe? If he would have continued down the course? Yeah. He was in a coma. Okay. And so we used to do what was called winning souls and making disciples here. Not that we don't win souls and make disciples now, but I mean, that was literally like our mantra. I think you were saved during that time, weren't you? Winning souls and making disciples. Well, he worked at a Yakima grinding store. I think it was in Sunnyside, wasn't it? I think it's where he was working. Yeah, he was working in Sunnyside. And Ruben Ramirez, yeah, he ended up, which I think, is Ruben with the Lord now? Ruben's with the Lord, so he's received his reward from this. So he just calls me up and says, hey, I've got this individual that is an employee here. Would you please go and pray with him and his wife? There's something wrong with his son. So I'm just going to put this down because I think this is all about what the Lord wants to do here. So anyway, so what ended up happening is that we went and it was me first. I went and I saw the couple, and Angel was there, and they were both terribly distraught because their son is basically, you know, dying. And so I said, well, let me pray for him, you know, and I didn't know who they were. And I don't remember if I laid hands on them. I'm sure I probably held their hands at the very least. And I just prayed a simple prayer and said, Lord, touch this baby. You're the healer, whatever I said in that day, whatever my truth I understood about the healing power of the Lord. And then I left. So I'm leaving, and all of a sudden this compulsion comes over me. I mean, I can't even explain it. It's only happened another time in my life. And I just start groaning. I mean, I'm like, ugh! And I'm groaning and groaning. And it's like this from the very depths of my being, you know, I'm groaning. And it's like, what's going on here, Lord? You know, and not really fully associating it with everything that was going on, but also knowing that something significant was going on with this couple. So I ended up going home, and I said, honey, we need to go see this couple in the hospital tonight. Because I said, can I bring my wife back? Oh, yes, please. So we ended up not being able to go that night. Gay had another plan. So I said, let's go first thing tomorrow. So I found out from Angel that Lorena was going to be there. He had to be at work. So it's just Lorena. So I think I'm going to have you come up at this point, because let you tell that part of the story.
So we get up to the hospital and we head to their room, and it's just Lorena sitting in the chair, in the recliner chair for the moms, and she's holding Littles, that's his nickname for us, Littles, in her arms, and he's completely out of it. And they have not found out at this point what's wrong with him. They just know that he's dying. And so, I'm a firm believer that if you don't know where somebody's history is, you start out as if it's a brand new, like a relationship with the Lord. Like, so when I was speaking to Lorena, I'm like, I don't know, you know, where you are in your walk with Jesus, but at our church, whenever we want to pray for somebody, the scripture says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Is it okay if I touch your baby? And she's like, yes, you can touch my baby. But you could tell she's like a little bit, okay, this white lady wants to touch my baby. But I just put my hand on his leg, and there was markings on his leg where they had drawn with a permanent marker, because this disease that he ended up having was growing in his body, and they're wanting to watch, you know, how fast it's growing. And so he had a mark on his leg and a mark on his arm. And anyway, and so, and I told her, I said, you know, we believe in healing. We believe that God can heal. And so that's what I'm going to pray for your baby. Is that okay? And she said, yes. So I touched Littles, and I prayed for him. And I tried to encourage Lorena the best that I could. And then we left. And as we're leaving and we're heading toward the elevator, I start getting this crunching, groping feeling in my stomach, like I needed to bend over like this, you know, because it felt almost painful, but it wasn't like hurting, but it was like, ugh, like it was grabbing me. And so we're in the elevator, and I'm trying not to be conspicuous because, you know, it looks like I need to be in the ER, actually. But so we get out of the elevator, we go to the car, and as we're going to the car, it's getting even stronger and stronger and stronger. And by the time we get to the car, and he helps me into the car, and he comes around, I'm like, I am bent over at the waist with my head on my knees, and I am groaning loud. Like, oh, like that loud, like really loud. And I'm like, something's going, and I'm just praying, Jesus, like Jesus, Jesus, like something's going on. And so he starts to drive. Now, the hospital is only a couple blocks up this little hill right here on Tiedem, right? And we live right here. But when he takes out of the parking lot, he's just like driving through the neighborhoods. Like he doesn't come home. He's just aimlessly driving around. And I'm groaning and moaning and uttering things I don't know what I'm saying. And he's driving, and all of a sudden he hit the steering wheel really hard with one hand. He said, God, what's going on? And then it took about 30 minutes of him driving aimlessly through the neighborhood as I'm groaning and bent over and I'm crying and I'm praying for the baby and I'm praying for Lorraine and Angel and I'm praying for wisdom for the doctors. I'm just in my mind, I'm praying all these things, but the only thing coming out of my mouth was these groanings that I didn't understand. And so finally, after about 30 minutes, he begins to speak. And he said, yesterday, when I went to the hospital and I prayed for Littles and Angel and Lorena, by the time I got to the car, I was doing exactly what you're doing. It happened to me yesterday morning. And something is going on. Do you want me to continue telling the story? Okay, so what we didn't know at that time is now we're almost about 40 minutes into aimlessly driving around neighborhoods we've probably never seen before. There is a gentleman that is driving between Spokane and Seattle, and he's stopping in Yakima Memorial Hospital. And he gets to the ER, and he's walking in, and he's a doctor from Children's. And he hears in the ER room that there's a child up on the ward, and he has something wrong with him that they don't know what it is. And he's like, can I take a look at the baby? And by the time he got up to his room and he took one look, he didn't even touch the baby. He took one look at Littles and he said, I know what's wrong with him. We need to get him to Children's Hospital immediately. Because it was in the middle of winter, almost Christmas time, they tried to air vac him, but the airlines were shut down. And so they had to take an ambulance and plow through the snow to get this baby to the hospital. But what we didn't know and find out until later was that what he had wrong with him, there was an antidote that needed to be made particularly for each child's body. And however that molecular composition was in their body was how they knew what to put in of this and that and this and that to inject the baby. And so they did that on Friday night. And then we're waiting and we're praying and we're wondering what's going on with Angel and Lorena. And we are, Tim at the time was the same age. He and, no, I guess Tim was 5 because Littles is about 2 years younger than Tim. And we're taking Tim to the live nativity out at West Valley Church. And we're in line and Mike's phone rings.
So it was Angel and he said, Pastor, I have to tell you, we're coming home. Littles, Adrian, I think is what he's called at the time, is better. And what ended up happening is that family, because it was a miracle. Had he not received that treatment, we don't know if Adrian would have been around, right? Yeah, had the doctor not shown up. And, you know, we prayed for wisdom for the doctor, supernatural healing, all of the things, and that's the way that God chose to do it. But if you think about it, he was here I'm, you know, now, after all of the history that we have had with the family, I'm standing there and I'm you know, just ready to pronounce a man and wife, and I do get choked up because realizing the faithfulness of God. And that wasn't just the miracle. That family ended up bringing like 50 or 60 people to the Lord. And to this day, they are both ones that minister to people and love on people. And so we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring in our lives, that the Lord's going to bring us someone that we can communicate what God's done in us. And maybe it won't be like a preaching thing. Maybe it's just going to be, we're just going to lay hands on their hand, or just say, can I briefly pray for you? Or maybe it's just like, do you know God loves you? Or maybe it's just, wow, you're an amazing person. It could be something so simple that God puts on our hearts, or we're thinking that we need to do, and we do it. And, you know, it says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That couple had been prepared beforehand. That meeting had been prepared for beforehand for Gay and I. And we got to meet destiny. And we were nobody. I mean, you know, we were just a couple of pastors that loved people and wanted to see Yakima saved like we do now. And God brought that opportunity to us. I'm here to tell you, you don't know what opportunity might be there tomorrow for you. Yeah. And you don't know how it might change your life forever. Angel and Lorena have helped change our lives forever. Just as many of you have helped change our lives forever. You have been a gift to us. They are a gift to us. And they are helping us become more like Jesus, which is the goal. You guys know that, don't you? I mean, we're not just here, you know, to just, you know, fill some space in a chair on Sunday morning, or fill some space during the week at our job and, you know, our home and all that. We're here to become like Jesus, to be transformed, to be light in this dark, dark world. Like Tim was sharing, there's so many people out there, they don't know which way is up from down. They don't know which way is right from left anymore. They don't know what good and bad is anymore. They've been told bad is good for so long now that they think that's good. And you know what? We have the truth. Not in some dogmatic way, but truth, when it's revealed by light, darkness flees. Darkness is eradicated. Darkness has no place where light is imminent. Do you guys know that? And you are light. You are light in the Lord. And there is no darkness in you if you are light in the Lord. So if you see behavioral things that look like darkness, it's a lie. Because you're light in the Lord. You don't have to be what you used to be. Christ died so you can be something else. Amen? Yes. Amen. So let's see what God has for us this week. Let's see whose lives God gives us the opportunity to touch. Because maybe we won't be talking about almost, you know, now 17-year-old testimony next week. We'll hear testimonies about what God did this week in your life. Amen? Amen. All right, stand with me and pray. Father, thank you for this day, Lord. I'm so grateful and thankful for what you did in the youth's lives. And Lord, as we prayed earlier, we pray, Lord, that that would be cemented in them, Lord, that they would be eternal changes, Lord, that there's no work that the enemy can bring in to steal, kill, and destroy what you did in them. And Lord, I pray right now that you would just bring people into their lives that would continue to fortify, Lord, that word that you've spoken, that encouragement that you put in their hearts. Lord, that destiny that some of them experience, Lord, and that you want to use them, Lord. Father, I just pray right now that you would just help Eric and Nancy, Lord, and Tim to be, Lord, a word of truth to them, Lord, and an extension of your love, that they could truly realize is tangible, Lord, and that until they have that deep personal relationship with you, Lord, they can receive from these leaders. Lord, bless our lives. Help us, Lord, to realize that there's opportunity waiting for us if we open up our hearts and open up our spirits and listen to the Holy Spirit, that you'll give us opportunities to reach, Lord, those who cannot be reached, Lord, any other way by maybe us. Lord, let us be your vessels. As we said, Lord, help us change, Lord, if we need to change. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Bless you guys. Thank you for indulging with that story.